So the theme of this week is... Brilliant. Experiencing God is the theme of our week together. So almost as soon as I arrived a few days ago, a verse came to mind from Psalm 34. Verse I'm sure you know, Psalm 34 verse 8, which says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." So I'm sure that verse came to mind because of the connection with our theme of experiencing God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. But how do we do that? It's all very well. That's a great encouragement. But how do we do that? I'm sure immediately after that verse coming to mind, another verse came to mind from the New Testament, which picks up on this theme of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. I don't suppose anyone knows the verse in the New Testament that is very closely linked with the verse from Psalm 34. If you want to turn, if you've got a Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. You really do need a Bible this morning. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And if someone has that to read in a moment, when everyone's... You can see people still turning to it, but hold fire a second. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. I think Peter's going to read it.
Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that Lord.
Yeah. And we have a great example here of Jacob, 10 weeks old, craving milk at all hours of the day and night, probably. And even though some of us have been Christians for, I imagine, quite some time, it's still helpful to think of ourselves as newborn babies needing to be fed, and we're encouraged to crave, to really long for pure spiritual milk. Again, you can ask yourselves what that means. So that we grow up in our salvation, now that we have tasted that the Lord is good. So I'm fairly sure that we've all experienced God in our lives, that we've tasted and we've seen that God is good. But that's not the end of it. We're to grow up in our salvation and we're to crave pure spiritual milk. And in a sense, we're doing that together here this week, in these times together, in our quiet times, because we want to experience God. We want to have that connection with God, and we want to grow in our relationship with God. Let me just say a little bit about myself. So I became a Christian when I was in my second year at university. And my family background wasn't a Christian family background. We didn't go to church. So I missed out on Sunday school and all the Old Testament stories, basically. So I'm very happy that this week we get to look at some of the main characters and stories from the Old Testament and spend some time thinking about that. Another verse that I really like, you can turn to it if you want to, is Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 verse 4. Again, I'll get someone to read it in just a moment. Oh, I'm going to get Thibaut to read it. In French, yeah. That's great. And then someone can translate it into English.
Or, tout ce qui a été écrit d'avance l'a été pour notre instruction, afin que, par la patience et par la consolation que donnent les Écritures, nous possédions l'espérance.
Thank you. Can someone translate that for us?
Yeah. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope.
Brilliant. So I find this a very motivating, encouraging verse when it's... I don't know how you found it this morning reading the chapters about Elijah. I've read them quite a few times, I think, in the last few weeks, but it's quite a battle just to sit down and read three chapters. But this verse from Romans 15 really encourages me because it says that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance, so keeping on going, and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And hope changes everything. Hope is really what keeps us going. So this morning we're looking at Elijah, and I just said to Steve, this is a bit of a double whammy for this week, because there are two mountains and two experiences that Elijah has, very different, a great contrast, and that's hopefully what you've been looking at this morning. I hope everyone's had a chance to read the chapters. So Elijah, in terms of the whole Bible, is an important character. You probably noticed that he appears quite suddenly in 1 Kings chapter 17. So there's no introduction, no background as to who he is. He's just suddenly there, and he has a message for King Ahab. And then after a few chapters, he disappears. Quite literally, he's taken up to heaven. But he is mentioned again in the very last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament as a way of prophecy. So Malachi chapter 4, we find a mention of Elijah, an important reference to Elijah. And then as the New Testament begins and the Gospels, we find that as John the Baptist comes preparing the way for Jesus, the people ask John the Baptist if he is Elijah. That's the question that they put to him. And there's a connection between the end of the Old Testament and then how the Gospels begin. And later on, even, when Jesus asks his disciples who people think he is, they respond, well, some people think you're Elijah. So some of the people thought that Jesus was Elijah. So we can see that Elijah, even though his story is contained within a few chapters of the Old Testament, he is an important character in terms of the whole Bible. There's one more mention of Elijah, important mention of Elijah in the Gospels that Stephen will mention on Friday. And then there's another interesting reference at the end of the book of James. So James chapter 5, verse 4, mentions Elijah. If you can turn to that, we'll just read that by way of... I don't know, it's James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. James chapter 5, 17 and 18, if someone could read those.
Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit.
Great. So Elijah, just like us in nature, prayed, and it stopped raining, and then 3.5 years later it rained. So you probably see the connection if you've read the chapters this morning. So we're going to do things a little bit differently. I'm going to get you to work rather than just giving a talk. And I think it would help. It's going to be a little bit like a Bible study, so it's going to be helpful to be in small groups, but different groups from the groups that we're normally in for our discussions. So perhaps we could get into country groups. So the Scots together, the Brits together. Okay, people from Southampton together. Those who've come from Russia together. And those who are left over perhaps can form a group. So do you want to do that now? Move around? A little bit of exercise. So, and then I'll explain what we're going to do.
I suppose you can to Southampton, really.
I do.
And you've got all the answers.
I don't have all the answers, no.
Leftovers.
So has that worked out okay? And feel free to speak in whatever languages you want to.
I'm going to move around as well. Just to, if you don't like the look of your other group members, you can change that. Yeah, you can move it to any group that you want to. There's no problem. Do I need to take that, Steve?
You just get your question on there.
Okay.
So. We're not going to take too long with this, but I've prepared 5 sets of questions, okay? So we're going to work through these questions. You have about 5 minutes for each set of questions. And it might be helpful to just write down the questions that I give you so that you can talk about them in your little groups. Really try and wrestle with these questions. Engage with the passage. You'll need to have the passage open in order to make the connections. And then if we have time, we'll have a little bit of feedback, if that's okay. So, first set of questions. So, all these questions are kind of related. I've just tried to express the question in different ways, and hopefully one of the ways that I've expressed the question will connect with your way of thinking. So, first set of questions. We're going to think about Elijah. What sort of person was he? What was Elijah like? What impression do you have of this prophet of God, this man of God?
That is all one.
Or, if you prefer, what words would you use to describe him? And perhaps finally, how is he different from Abraham and Moses, the two characters that we've looked at these past 2 days? Is that okay? So, I'm getting you to think about Elijah, what impression you have of him, what's he like as a person, how you would describe him. So, over to you. If the Southampton group's a bit too big, you could do it in 2 smaller groups if you want. But talk together, get going, brainstorm, throw out your ideas. This is the moment to...
How much time?
5 minutes. I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and then we might get a little bit of feedback. Okay, time for a little bit of feedback. What words would you use to describe Elijah? Just throw them out. Words to describe Elijah, what would you say?
Obedient.
Obedient, very good, very good.
Uncompromising.
uncompromising. Like
death
that.
Wish.
He has a death wish.
Confident mostly. So confident mostly.
Okay, mostly confident. He has a wobble.
Commanding.
Commanding.
Isolated.
Mm-hmm. Isolated. Yeah. Anything else?
A lot else,
yeah. I don't know for you, for me, I don't feel like I've really got a good handle on Elijah. So it helps me to ask that question, yeah, what was he like? How would I describe him? Man of God is in the text quite a few times. Ahab thinks he's a troublemaker. You can see why he would say that. Okay, second set of questions.
So he really suffered, and he suffered what happened, this tragedy. You know, when he, the widow's son dies, he says to God, "Are you also going to cause her to have tragedy? Also?" I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And of course, it was a big tragedy. People are dying around him.
Yeah.
So, very deep experience of the suffering and the tragedy and the loneliness. And
Yeah. No, that's very helpful. Great. Second set of questions. Again, this will keep us in the passage. So, see if you can make a little list of the things that happen in these three chapters. What happens to Elijah? What does he do? And what are the different situations that he finds himself in? So that's simple observation, coming up with a list. But then perhaps you could just add the question, in what ways does he experience or encounter God in these three chapters? Is that okay? So another 5 minutes to talk in your small groups. Okay, so third set of questions. Having pulled together some of the things that happen to Elijah and around Elijah, when you look at these three chapters all together, what are some of the themes that you find in these chapters? What are some of the words or ideas that are repeated? And what do you think is being emphasized in these three chapters? Is that okay? So what are the themes? What's being repeated? What's being emphasized? 5 more minutes, and then we'll have some feedback. What seems to be emphasised in these chapters, so that I don't think they're just a series of events, a bit haphazard. I think there are some themes being developed. What did you find? What did you talk about? Over to you. Feedback. God's provision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good.
Running. Running away.
Yeah. Okay. So there's so that comes up.
At the beginning, he flees to the cave.
Yeah.
Runs away to the cave.
Yeah.
And at the end, he runs away from Mount Carmel to the other mountain.
Horeb.
Was he not sent?
Sorry?
Was he not sent to Horeb?
That's a good question.
Was he sent to Horeb?
Or did he go there?
I thought he just went there.
But doesn't God say, go there to work? Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.
Yeah, so that might suggest there's been a suggestion that he goes to Horeb. So we've got God's provision, this idea of running away or fleeing, when he runs ahead of Ahab to Jezreel as well, that's there. What else? What else seems to be repeated in these chapters?
State of evil in Israel, whether it's the people or the rulers of Israel, the idolatry going on, the contrast between Elijah's faithfulness to God and Israel's unfaithfulness.
So there's quite a few times where he says that Israel have kind of broken the covenant, turned their backs on God, they're worshipping Baal. Why are they doing that? You have to say, why are they doing that? And we could talk about the context and what's been going on, but to me it seems like crazy. What else? Anything else that seems to be a repeated idea or a theme in these chapters?
Death.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, death. Yeah. So where does that come up, Luke?
Well, there's the widow's son.
Yeah.
Who dies.
Who dies.
And there's the prophets. And then Elijah wants to die as well.
Yeah.
He goes off and asks to be killed.
Yeah. And before that, you have Jezebel threatening to kill Elijah. When he meets Obadiah as well, Obadiah's afraid for his life, because if Elijah disappears while he's going to Ahab, then Ahab's going to kill him. Mm-hmm. And right at the beginning, you have all the prophets have been put to death. So not the prophets of Baal, but prophets of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So yeah, death is quite a prominent theme in these chapters, threat of death.
I think in contrast to that, there's that repeating statement, as surely as the Lord lives.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of times that he says that, and then he does a miracle, and even with the prophets of Baal, he's trying to, not trying to prove that God lives, but kind of trying to prove that God is still alive and active.
Yeah. And linked with that, you have, I don't know how many times, the word of the Lord comes to Elijah, or God instructs someone. This idea that God is communicating a lot in these chapters.
Ravens.
Yep. God instructs the ravens to bring food. He instructs the widow, whether she knows it or not, to provide food for Elijah. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of messages being communicated. Jezebel to Elijah, I'm gonna kill you before the day's out.
What about cynicism? So there's three replies, the prayers to God, complaining, I've been obedient, I've done what you asked me to, now look what happened. Is that my reward? Mm-hmm. So it's the widow who's asking if you come here to curse me or to kind of, and the son dies. She was helped, she was helping, and so on.
Yeah.
Then Obadiah, then Elijah says, can you go and get King Ahab? And thinking that, yeah, right, when I get the king, you'll have disappeared when I come back. You'll kill me.
Yeah.
And what have I done to deserve that, you know? Can you ask me to do that?
Yeah.
And then Elijah himself at the end. He's done all the big stand up at Mount Carmel. In the end, has to run for his life.
Very good, very good. And we've also mentioned solitude. So Elijah seems very alone. At the end, that's what he says to God: "I'm the only one left." Mm-hmm. And God's got something to say about that. Okay, next set of questions.
Well, you thought prayer is an important theme.
Yeah. So, do you want to...
Well, just... So, not only God's promises, you think, oh, I often think it's enough, God's promises, but then he had to pray at least 7 times before anything happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something.
Yeah.
And we thought God is beautifully for us dealing with depression.
Yeah.
You know, hey, eat, rest, eat, rest, eat, rest.
Yeah.
Go for a walk.
Yeah. And it struck me that in the midst of that, going back to what Kat said, Elijah is obedient. When God says, do this, he does it, whether it's eat or whether it's go. Mm-hmm. All the way through, Elijah is very attentive to what God says, mm-hmm. and obedient to what God says. Whatever, whether he's on Mount Carmel or Mount Horeb, whether he's seeing God really powerfully work, mm-hmm. or whether he's feeling like he can't go on, his obedience to God is the consistent point. Mm-hmm. And we see his humanity, we see his courage.
He never has a doubt. Even able to have fun of the other prophets, so he doesn't have a doubt, he trusts God.
Yeah.
And he has no doubt. I mean, even in the desert, he says, he doesn't deny God, he's just saying that he's too weak as a human, but he still believes in God, so even in desperate situations, he's truly trusting.
Yeah. Next set of questions. Okay, this is where it starts to challenge us, hopefully. What do you think it means to experience God? This is the theme of our week. But what does it mean to experience God? How do we experience God? How do we experience God? Can we do anything to experience God? And what do we learn about experiencing God from Elijah? Yeah, so what do we learn about experiencing God from Elijah? Is that okay? Those questions okay? Go for it. Another 5 minutes or so to think and share in your small groups. Okay, sorry, the time is going quickly, but are you ready to give a little bit of feedback from those questions? Okay, far away.
Do you think you're meant to experience God all the time?
Huh?
What? Are we meant to experience God all the time? That's a good question. Quick straw poll. Hands up if you think we're meant to experience God all the time. What makes...
Depends what you mean by experience.
Yes.
Okay, so that was the question, wasn't it? That was the question. So what do we mean, or what do we think it means to experience God? What ideas do you have? Throw them out.
Being aware of His presence in some form.
So an awareness of God's presence.
So it's linked with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aware of a purpose as well for yourself. For everything you see around you.
So having a sense of purpose that comes from God?
Hearing His voice, His words?
Yep. In some way, hearing from God, like Elijah hears from God, perhaps not in exactly the same way because we don't know how Elijah heard from God, but he heard very specifically and very clearly. And that's part of our experience of God as well, I'm sure, that sense of hearing from God. Listening to him, hearing from him. What else?
Seeing God at work.
Yeah, seeing God at work. Noticing things that we can interpret as God in action. And of course, unless God says very clearly that this is what he's doing, sometimes it's a little bit of guesswork. Is that what God's doing? Is what I'm seeing the result of God's activity or not? But seeing God at work is definitely part of experiencing God. What else? How else would you express it?
Sense of leading.
Mm-hmm. Having a sense of God's leading?
Simple in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Sensing that I should probe with questions. I don't know.
Yeah.
Pursue this kind of conversation further. So I don't know why, but it seems to be something that you need to do that.
Yeah. So that could be in any conversation,
yeah.
Any time with anyone.
Yeah.
So what leads us to think that potentially we could or should be experiencing God all the time? What could lead us to that conclusion? I think there are several things.
The Spirit?
In what sense?
God's Spirit is in us.
Yeah, so if God's Spirit is in us, that's all the time, every day, permanent. As Edwin was sharing yesterday, God's given us his Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. The idea is that God is present with us, has promised to be with us all the time. So that might lead us to think, well, if that's true, if God really lives in me, then I can experience something of God all the time.
Yeah, but I have a heart telling me inside me, but I don't see my heart beautiful with this heart.
True.
Unless I've had a telescope and I've had a permanent.
Yeah.
But then I'd probably be busy doing other things and I can get it anyway, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why I wasn't raising my hand, because I felt that was a bit unnecessary.
No, and no, it's fine. It's, for those who didn't raise their hand, you know, that's very helpful what you've just said. And we can pray any time. And if prayer in itself is an experience of God, of having some kind of connection with God, there's nothing to stop us praying. I think God's at work all the time. Jesus said, "My Father is always at work." And if that is true of God, then perhaps we can expect God to be at work in us, through us, around us, in a constant, continual way. God's got a lot that he wants to do, I think, so.
Maybe there's a tendency to equate experiencing with feelings. And then I think then it's very dependent on how you feel.
Yeah.
If you experience that.
Yeah.
But if it is, it's also, so that's part of it, of course, but more related to deep conviction, deep awareness of, you know, God's perspective on life, what he's doing. There's a lot going on.
And it raises all sorts of questions for us, doesn't it? Do I want to experience God? Do I want to experience God more often? Does that help me? Or is that something that I'm afraid of, what do we mean by experiencing God? Is it seeing God do what he did on Mount Carmel with Elijah? I don't think that happens often. It seems to be a unique moment. If we define experiencing God as seeing fire come from heaven to set wood on fire for the sacrifice and prove that God is the God of all the earth, then then that probably won't happen that often. While I've been here, I've been really struggling, I think, to experience God, whereas in previous years, it's been a very easy thing coming here and surrounded by so many amazing sights and having time just to read or pray or think. I don't know why that is, but that says something to me that experiencing God isn't something to take for granted. It's not something that happens automatically. So this question of, is there anything we can do to experience God? What did you come up with for that? Any thoughts or any ideas?
I think we need to give him room. So when we close ourselves up, there's no room for God. He might be at work, but we're not realizing that he's at work because there's no room for him.
And what might creating room look like in?
Maybe trust him that he's at work. Listening.
Yeah. So, what does that involve?
Katarina was saying, taking time and space to be open to God's words.
Yeah.
And to
Very good.
Yeah, learning to be still is important for listening. Like, learning to silence your own mind. You know, chatting that goes on in your head.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah.
Yeah. So creating space, setting aside time, not being busy all the time can help, I think. That's been my experience. God's voice isn't the only voice that's trying to get our attention. There are plenty of other noises and ideas that come into our heads from all sorts of different places. So being able to focus or concentrate. Any other thoughts? And it is an open question. Is there anything we can do to experience God? Are there any verses that come to mind or scriptural principles?
Deuteronomy 11 somewhere. Talks about to love the Lord your God and hold fast to him. I like that.
And
there is some sort of sense of dependence and desire for him, or pursuing him, or holding on to him. That sounds like it doesn't. That's not only true or applicable in good times, but in bad times, hold on to him. when we're not doing that well, we can still hold on to him. So if you don't really feel you're experiencing God, still hold on.
And that has echoes of Jesus saying to his disciples, remain in me. Don't cut yourself off from me. Don't become a branch that withers and dies. Stay connected to me.
Because I find as well that, at least in my experience, the periods when I find it really hard to spend time with God and so on. So sometimes it's only a little bit of time or space I can muster to. But that's, I can still use that to try and hold it to him.
Specific prayer.
In a sense, it's like with any relationship. There's listening and there's speaking, there's communication that goes on. That's how we experience life. And we experience life all the time. That's, I think, another reason why we can hope to have a fairly continual experience of God, is because God has made us to hear and to see and to taste and to touch and to feel. And that goes on in life all the time.
And it's true, it's different. We live by faith, not by sight. Mm-hmm. When we hear God, it's often not an audible voice that we hear, but some inner prompting or thought that comes into our mind. But it's the way God has made us to experience him and to enjoy that experience of him as well. To see God do things. Mm-hmm. To see God also responding to prayer. If we don't pray, then we won't see God answering those prayers. So, there's lots more that we could say, but time has gone. So let me just leave you with the last few questions. I don't know if the plan is to have our normal kind of group times, or if we'll just go into lunch prep and cleaning and stuff like that. But these are my final questions. What is God saying to you this morning? What has been helpful from this little look at the life of Elijah? What questions do you still have in light of reading these chapters? I find these chapters quite a struggle. It doesn't make complete sense what happened, so I'm sure you have questions. But what has stood out to you most? What do you think you'll remember from having read these three chapters? And plenty of other things we're going to hear this week, but if you can hold on to maybe just one thing that has spoken to you this morning, that could be helpful when you're reflecting at the end of the week. Is that okay? I think I'm done. I could just pray, maybe, unless there are other things. Maybe I just... Has anyone got any other questions that they want to throw out now? Okay. Sorry that I made you work a bit this morning rather than just being... I did fear the whole kind of nodding off. I was nodding off myself, so... Okay, let's just pray together and then we can hear about what's going to happen next. Father God, we thank you again that we can be in this place together with you and with each other. Thank you for what you want to do in our lives and through us to bring you glory and to make you known. Lord, thank you for the ways that you reveal yourself to us. And Lord, thank you for our experience of you, the ways that you connect with us and lead us and provide for us. Lord, thank you that we have so much to thank you for. Lord, we thank you for each other and that we're all different, Lord, that you've created us in a unique way, but together we can really learn about you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for your words as well to us. Thank you for your commitment to teaching us and showing us who you are. Lord, we pray that would continue through today and this week. Lord, help us to be especially attentive to you and to make the most of this opportunity to receive from you and to share freely with each other. Lord, help us to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.